let's do all the halachas, the kish shulchan aruch, then we'll go back. We'll do the shi'anim mitzvah malach in one shot. Let us get a flavor for the laws of amir la'akom. So we're up to halacha dalet. It's on page mem ches. Page mem ches halacha dalet simnayim gimel. Aser l'kvoya le'in yehudi shi'asam malach b'shabbos. We're in the middle of discussing all of the conditions. So far, we have mentioned, I believe, two conditions. Right, the two conditions. Number, we're dealing with the situation where you're giving a non-Jew an object to do malacha. For example, you're giving him wood. You're asking him to make a table. Making a table is a malacha deraisa. When is a guy allowed to make? Let this just use this as an example. When is he allowed to instruct him to make a table for you, even though he may actually do the malacha on Shabbos? So we learned here so far two conditions. Number one, you have to give it to him. He has to take the material outside of your house. Under no condition may the malacha be done in your house. This also fits very well into the opinion of the Rambam. Because the Rambam says the main reason why one is not allowed to tell a guy to malacha for you on Shabbos is because zila beimilsa. It desecrates the sanctity of Shabbos in your eyes when you are having malacha done for you. So one solution, according to the Kitzur, obviously, is if the malacha is not being done in your home, it's being done outside of your premises, that takes away from the zilzul of Shabbos. The second condition we learned yesterday is you have to pay him for his services. So if the guy is going to end up doing malacha on Shabbos, he's not doing it as a favor for you, he's doing it for himself because he's getting paid. Now we come to the halacha gimel, hasochar yi. The next condition, if you want him to do malacha, to take wood and make the wood into a table, you have to pay him for the labor, not by day, not for the hour. Because if you're going to pay him by the hour, so then he's actually working for you on Shabbos. When he works on Shabbos, he fashions this table, he's being paid for a service rendered on Shabbos itself. But if he is not being paid for the time, he's being paid for the job, then we don't attribute the malacha to zilzul of Shabbos, we attribute the malacha to the contract work. Hasachar yihya kotzav shviset l'chol ha-malacha v'lo yihya ha'im yehudi s'chir yom, he's not paid for the day. Halacha dalet. Also l'gvoya le'in yehudi shi'asa malacha b'Shabbos. The next condition number four, you're not allowed to tell that you must do it for me on Shabbos. Many of the problems that involve in modern times of Amir Yaakov is where the guy must do the malacha for you on Shabbos. As we mentioned yesterday, a lot of the type of business related services where there's shipping, where a person orders something and the item must be shipped in a certain period of time and it must be done on Shabbos. So if there's no obligation that the malacha to be done on Shabbos, you're giving him a week to do the malacha, it's a he can do it at his leisure, and in no condition does he have to do it on Shabbos. And if he chooses to do it on Shabbos, doing this for his own benefit, he's not doing it for you. That is another leniency in the laws of Amir Yaakov. Also, l'gvoya la'in yehudi shi'asa malacha b'Shabbos, afilu im in yehudi einu kaveh Allah b'feirish shi'asa b'Shabbos, even if you don't explicitly tell him not to do it on Shabbos, ela shukaveh lo zman shigma malacha, you tell him, I need this done by Sunday morning, and there's no way in the world, if you give him an assignment on Friday afternoon, and you tell him that this must be done by Mitzvah Shabbos or by Sunday morning, and it is physically impossible for the malacha to be done unless it's going to be done on Shabbos, that is also a violation. The im ela shush kvul It must be done after Shabbos. It cannot be done. It's also forbidden. For example, im shalech biyado igeres, if you put in the hand of your non-Jew a letter, the letter must be delivered by this particular day, it is impossible for the letter to be delivered unless you Shabbos on Shabbos, gam kenoser, this is also forbidden. V'chein, another example, im yom hashuk hu biyom hashabbos, if the market day is Shabbos, also law says l'nachri mos be'erev Shabbos. You're not allowed to give money to a guy erev Shabbos. Sheyikne lo eze davar for the business. Go, here is money. Go out to the market and buy me the merchandise. If you do today, it's a fact that the day when the market is open is on Shabbos. If you know eze davar sheyadeh she'ein emotzi l'gnoso ki im Shabbos. Another example. V'chein osi lo litin lo eze davar l'machor binyin zeh. You're not allowed to give something to sell, and you know the day that it's going to sell will be on Shabbos. V'ulam, however, but oifin zesh ein kavir lo b'feir shi'asa b'Shabbos. In the situation when you don't tell them what's on Shabbos, ein ayos ela b'noisim lo b'yev Shabbos. Avul koydim l'chein mutu los yislachefetz lasos olmos lignos. But if you don't give it to him erev Shabbos, you give it to him in the beginning of the week, and he does not have to do it on Shabbos. And if he chooses to do it on Shabbos, to do the melacha on Shabbos, or to buy it, or to sell, all the different examples, and he chooses on Shabbos only for his own benefit, then there is no violation. Period. Now the kids say something that is shocking. The toiv shleilodur klal biir shayim hashukku b'Shabbos. If you want to choose a place to live, don't choose a place to live with the yom hashukku Shabbos, because ki ef shlo yechte, it is impossible not to sin. V'mashuk einu b'shchunas hayehudim ein lochush. But if the market is not in a neighbor Jewish neighborhood, so even though things may be done, the business may be done. With non-Jews, so then that lightens the issue. It doesn't take away the problem 100%, but since there are not, everything is being done among non-Jews, so then there is less of a problem, and there's less of a problem. We discussed yesterday with the websites that if most of the visitors are non-Jews, so there's no problem of lifnei. Everything over here is addressing the problem of lifnei either. Because if you're going to tell a guy to do for you business, even if the guy does, you set up the system where the Amir Liakim is not a problem, there's another problem of lifnei either, lo sitei nichshol. Jews are going to be doing melacha on Shabbos because of you, because you are making available merchandise that would otherwise not be available to them. They are going to come to the market mechal Shabbos to purchase merchandise from the non-Jew, and they are not allowed to do that. They don't care. They don't know. They're not yet religious. So there's another issue of lifnei iver. But if in the sin that you live in, the most people are non-Jews, then you don't have a problem of lifnei iver. And as long as you can structure your business in a way where there's no problem of mi'ul akum, or it's done in oifin, that's mutter, then there is no problem. Halacha, hey. Hamalacha, yeah.
Can you tell a guy, please buy this for me on Saturday, because on Sunday,
no, you're not allowed to. You're not allowed to. That's exactly what he says over here. You're not allowed to tell a guy to do malacha for you on Shabbos. You're not allowed. That's a nirul yakum. Doesn't matter, because you're telling the guy, it's a nirul yakum. You're telling the guy to do a malacha, and that's really exactly what he's saying. What would be the solution? The solution would be that if it's a hefsid meruba, it's a very great loss, amirul yamira. To tell one guy to tell another guy. That's the classic heter of Amir Yaakov. So you tell one guy that one guy should tell another guy to put in the order for the stock. Now let's say you're selling some type of international. Amir Yaakov is mutter, b'shas hefsit. You tell your broker to tell another broker that they should put in the order to put in this, the stock market is closed at least on Shabbos, but let's say if you're selling a foreign on Yom Tov, right? Sorry, so Yom Tov is the same way, Yom Tov, exactly. So Amira Liamira is Mutar B'Makayim Hefsit. But to tell a guy to do something for you on Shabbos, that clearly is, on your behalf, is clearly awesome. The situation we're dealing with here with a Kabbalah, where you're not telling him what to do, you're telling him generally that I want you to do something for me. If he chooses to do this on Shabbos, that's his business. He's not doing it for you, he's doing it for his convenience, because if he's not going to do it for you on Shabbos, he will have to do it for you on Sunday. You never told him to do it on Shabbos, you told him just get it done during the week. So now whatever he's doing, this is for his convenience. And as long as he fulfills the other conditions, it's not being done on your premises, and It's not being done. It's not going to be attributed to you. Long as the other conditions are met, it's okay. Let's see a little bit more. Hey, halacha. Hey, hamalach.
So yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Stock market is closed.
If it's automated, so we discussed that yesterday. Automated in this mutter. If it's automated, it's Amir Liakim is where you're instructing a human being, a guy to do the melacha on Shabbos.
So but if you had a broker and you did that, that would be awesome.
A broker, yeah, that's the, yeah. A broker computer.
If you add a stop order, if it's going to go down.
Right, so it's computerized, yeah. Rabbi Kirshner writes, anything that is automated, that's computerized, is mutter. Meikar hadin. Like we discuss auctions. You have an eBay auction, very common eBay auction. eBay auction, it's not under your control when the auction closes. Whoever set up the auction, they typically, if you ever set eBay auction, so you do 3 days, 7 days, it's the clock starts, and the moment you put in the auction, people don't pay attention. They're not so sophisticated, they want the auction to end at a very specific time where most people are in front of their computers, and you'll get a higher bid. That happens then on Shabbos, and you just set the highest bid, or you set up a sniper program where it's going to bid, because you everything is automated, then Mikra din it's mutter. It's only when you're actually telling a guy to do malacha for you on your behalf, that is problematic. And again, the solution would be, amira li'amira, you tell a guy to tell another guy. And even the amir l'amir has to be done in a way where the second guy does not know that it's going all the way back to you. If the second guy is aware that this is just a trick, a scheme in order to permit you to do Moloch on Shabbos, it's also not valid. It has to be that it's clearly the second guy believes that he is the agent of the first guy. Because then he really is the agent of the first guy. And then that takes it away from you. It's not in halacha called amir l'yakum. And being... No gnevistas. It's no gnevistas. It's true. I'm telling one person that you should go and tell someone else to do it. So since Amir Yaakov is only Nisim Rabbanon, and it's not, there's no zila be'milsa, there's no disgrace for Shabbos because it's not being done in my presence, and I'm not actually, and it's a hefsin, there's a loss, there's a need, and there's no daber daber. I'm not telling them to do this on Shabbos itself. Well, even if I'm telling him to do it on Shabbos himself, I'm not directly telling him to do it. I'm telling him, I'm not the one that's issuing the final command. The one that is issuing the final command is a guy, not a Jew.
My name is Boruch Lapsker. My daughter is dying. She's having a heart transplant in Pennsylvania Children's Hospital. I'm raising money. Insurance is not covering. Chabad is not covering. Everything, all the money that I'm putting together is not enough for the operation. I'm collecting tzedakah for this. If you could please help me, it's the biggest mitzvah, the Mashiach is going to come closer. The more mitzvah is done, the more Mashiach comes. I daven shachris, mincha, maariv. I put on tefillin every day. I do 613 mitzvahs. I put on tzitzis every single day. I went to Shiva Koyakov and Monsu, Robert Trapper, Yaakov Gazimanetsky. Please help. I beg of you. I'm Jewish. Please help a Jewish neshama on the floor. I said to you, I wish not for everybody. May everybody have nothing but tzaddikim and tzaddiks and tzaddikas come from the family. Or as I can say,
you have 5 pounds in the 5 pounds.
Okay, let's continue. Hamalacha loy tehei b'mechubo l'karka. The next condition is the malacha cannot be done on something which is mechubo l'karka, meaning real estate. Because if the malacha is done on a field, there's a zilzul to Shabbos. People know that this piece of property belongs to a Jew. And people will walk around saying that... People will walk around saying that the property of, there is malacha being done on the property of a Jew. Hamalacha lo tei b'mechubo l'karka going binyan or avodas hasadeh. Aval avodas habinyan, but when it comes to aval avodas habinyan, also shiyas ein yehudi b'shabbos. Aval pi sheyishol katzatz imo kol schar habinyan legamri. It is also. So one more. What I read over here? So make sure I read it quickly. Hamalacha loy tehe b'mukhubo l'karko k'goyim b'nin o'yavodas ha'sadeh. Anything that is construction that is on real estate is osur. It is osur because even though he's doing it for his own benefit, since it's public knowledge, if a guy is doing it in his own factory, he's taking wood and making it into a chair, into a table, then no one knows about it. But when it's been done on real estate, then it's public knowledge that is lost. And basically the solution is that let's say it's in the country, no one knows about it. People, they have this issue, I hear this, talk about the people they hire in the bungalow, in the Catskills. Right? During the winter, or during the spring, or during the fall, you hire a contract to do construction, so no one is there. It's during the time of the year when now today it's not so, because today the people living there the whole year round. They go there. They have people have winter homes and they go there all year round. But there are certain sections where there's actually no one there, so no one really knows. It's private grounds. No one really knows what's going on over there. So in those cases, people that I heard there about them are very makel. It's all like to do construction on your house here in Flatbush. Someone is going away, they're doing major construction, you're going out of your house, and you're going to have a contractor that's going to be hacking away the hack on Shabbos. So that is clearly usur. There's no head for that. That violates the rule, because everyone knows that this house belongs to a Jew, and they know that you've moved out for a couple of weeks, couple of months to do some construction, and they hear the noise, so that is a zilzal in the Kedusha of Shabbos, especially according to the Sheet of the Rambam. The Sheet of the Rambam learns the Ikar Tam of Amil Yaakov is also because of zeal. Bay Milsa. It's a disgrace. It's not because I'm telling him to do malacha. In this situation, I didn't tell the guy to do any malacha. I told the guy, I'm giving you a contract. I signed the contract. Get the job done. You have 6 months to get the job done. Do whatever you want. You can do it on Sunday. You can do it on Monday. You can do whatever you want. And I'm paying you a fixed amount. So you really have fulfilled all of the conditions. There is no vidaber davar. You're not telling him to do the malacha for you on Shabbos. And the third reason of shlichus does not apply. I'm not making you my agent to do it, because I'm telling you to do during the week. So the only problem would be a problem of zila bei milsa, which you cannot avoid. But if you are in a community, the work is being done in another part of the world, another part of the city, where people actually do not know what's going on, then there is makom to be lenient. The afilu, what? That besides havla, that's you avoid the problem of shlichus, and you avoid the problem of daber davar. But there's still a problem of zila bei milsa. There are three. You always have to take into consideration the three reasons for amir liyakim. Number one, the Rambam, zila bei milsa. It's a disgrace to the sanctity of Shabbos that malacha should be done because of you on Shabbos. Number two, the daber davar. You're not allowed. Your speech on Shabbos has to be different than your speech during the week. Telling a guy to do malacha on Shabbos is in the violation of the daber davar. The third reason is shluchoi shel adam kimoso. When a guy does malacha on Shabbos, we attribute his actions to you. It's only midrabanan. Now, every situation, you will not always find all three reasons. You'll only find one or two. In a situation where on Shabbos itself, you tell a guy, I want you to light a fire. All three conditions have been violated. In your presence, Shabbos has been desecrated. You have spoken words which are not proper. Your words were words to Mimchal Shabbos. The third violation, Shluchai Shladam Kimoso. It's been done on your behalf. All three conditions have been violated. If I tell a guy, Erev Shabbos, I want you to do malacha, I want you to light the fire on Shabbos, you have not violated the daber davar, because I did not give the instruction on Shabbos. The instruction was given before Shabbos. So the time of Rashi falls away. But has Shabbos been desecrated publicly in your presence? Absolutely. Is the guy your agent? Absolutely. So in a situation where you tell a guy before Shabbos, do malacha on Shabbos, you violate condition number one, condition number two. If the guy is not doing malacha in your presence, the guy is doing malacha away from your presence in his own property, have you violated the first condition? No. I tell a guy before Shabbos, I want you in your home, in the privacy of your own home, on my behalf, on my honor, I want you to light a fire. I want you to light a fire in your home. So here there is no v'daber davar, there is no zila bei milsa, at least not to a significant degree, because you're not seeing it, it's not being done, but there is still the problem of shluchoi shel adam kamoso. If you have a contract with a guy, Kablan, I'm giving you a job, and you can do it whenever you want. You don't have to do it on Shabbos. You have 6 months to do it. It only takes a month to do. Do it at your leisure. And he chooses to do the malacha on Shabbos. You can't say that he's my agent. I never told him to do it. I just gave him a general, that takes away the problem of shemukhoi, shalom mekamoso. But if it's been done in public, you still have the first time of zila beimilz. So these are the three ikar tanim, and every single situation you have to take into account if there is a violation of one of these three reasons.
But
so
let's say it's dark in the house.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you want the guy to put it on, and you say, oh, it's so dark.
That's a heter of a remiza, where you don't actually tell him. So think about it. Let's discuss that situation, where you don't actually tell him. Are you violating Vidaber Davar? No. The second time, because I didn't tell you to do it. Are you violating the third condition? The third condition of Shluchai Shel Adam Kimoso?
No.
No, you're not my agent. Is it Zila Ben Milsa? Absolutely, it is. It's a disgrace to Shabbos. Zila bei milsa. Is it a disgrace? Has Shabbos been desecrated in your presence? If the lights are off and the lights now go on in your presence, has Shabbos been desecrated? Yes, it is. Well, let's say it's an incandescent bulb. According to many opinions, an incandescent bulb is a melacha deraisa. The filament in the light, it turns hot. It's esh. It's esh. So has Shabbos been desecrating your presence? Absolutely. So is it proper for you to be merames to a guy? You know, it's dark here. I wouldn't mind if the lights would be turned on. It's not proper. It's usher. If there's a reason, if you know you're sitting around, you're doing nothing anyway, you just, you know, it would be nice to have the lights on. But let's say I'm having a su'udah Shabbos. It's going to enhance my honor of Shabbos, or the family is coming over, or I'll trip. That's sakana, right? It's dark at night. There are children around. This sakana. There is a need. Oh, there is a need. Then you can be makel. Then we can makel in this situation. But it's not something which you can do without any hesitation. Without any hesitation, allowed to even merames to a guy that malacha should be done in your presence because it's zil meilsa. See, we don't appreciate this because we live in a world where you walk in the street every single second, there are cars going. A lot of they say this about the gedolim from Europe. They live in ghettos. They live in shul. They came to America and on Shabbos there was no chil Shabbos period. You walk in the street. I don't remember what they said. I made this about the Chavetz Chaim.
My father Hashem used to walk on a side street, so he wouldn't walk.
He wouldn't see, so he wouldn't see Chil Shabbos.
Jewish, because you know you walk
less Chil Shabbos.
You walk down the ocean there.
Exactly, it's not Shabbos then.
Walk down 21st.
Exactly. If you walk down Avenue, better to walk down Avenue L on Shabbos than walk down Avenue J. Because Avenue J, you don't even know that it's Shabbos. You walk down Avenue L, so there are cars, but it's not the same. There's more flavor. There's more flavor to Shabbos. Of course, well, this is our clothes, but ain't a dime. Still, you walk down to Shabbos. You go to Manhattan, right? If you stay in the hotel, if this person stays in the hotel, there's no difference. It's mom. There's no difference. There's no taste. So this is an issue. They say about certain gedolim when they came to America, the first time they saw Chil Shabbos, they fainted. They fainted. There was a certain gedolim who came to America before the war. He came to make parnasa. And the first time, the first Shabbos, he saw Chil Shabbos, he fainted. The second Shabbos, he didn't faint. The third Shabbos, he didn't even feel so bad. So he said, I know it's time to go back. I know it's time. My sensitivity to Shabbos has been completely dulled. You know, it's funny, one of my nephews, when he was very, very little, you know, in Lakewood, in certain parts of Lakewood, they actually close the streets. They have certain shelter communities, and they actually don't see Chil Shabbos.
In Bnei Brak.
I'm talking about in America. In Bnei Brak, it's not a chiddush. Even in Yerushalayim, they close the streets. I'm talking about in Lakewood. Lakewood is America, New Jersey. But they live in certain little sections, little ghettos, where they actually have the opportunity not to see Chil Shabbos. And this little boy, he came here at the flat, but he's sitting in the living room looking out the window in Shabbos. All the cars are going by, and he's saying, oh, look, all of these goyishas, he called them goyishas. One kid called them the goyishas, and one called them the goyims. the goyim and the goyishas, because the chil Shabbos. Who else would be driving a car on Shabbos? They're not accustomed to seeing this type of thing when you live in a little sheltered community. But there's something to it, which we unfortunately are completely desensitized to. And he's making that point. That point is a very big issue when it comes to chil Shabbos. When a goy, every time a goy, even a goy, we're not talking about a Jew doing malacha. When a goy does malacha in your presence, that has an effect on you, and that is the ikar concern of the Rambam, Zila Bey Milsa. There are many heterim. The heterim are when there is a need, when there is a danger, or a tzorach, you can be makel. But you always have to take into consideration every single time you deal with the Chil Shabbos and Milakam, the three yisodos of the reason. Let's go further.
Let me make one more point. If your wife is made to look at Sinaias,
yes,
I'm on the Kabbal Shabbos.
You're not on the Kabbal Shabbos.
I'm on the Kabbal Shabbos. Now, she left a light on in the summer.
Yes, she can ask you to do malacha, because until even Tosfos Shabbos, there's no shvus. You're asking your soul until Tzeis HaKochavim. There is no iser derabbanans are very lenient.
So she can tell me directly.
Yes, she can tell you to yes.
Because what she does in point of fact, she says to me, "Oh, by the way, the light's on."
She can say. Telling a guy to do malacha is a shvus. It's what's called the shvus. It's not a derabban. It's a low level. Bein hashmoshos lechatchila, you are allowed to ask a guy to do any malacha you want. Since the halacha lemaisa we paskin on miru la'akum is an iser derabban. It's not even derabban. It's a lower level derabban. We call a shvus, and there is no iser shvus during the time of Bein Hashmashos, which the time Rav Moshe says until half an hour. Even the Rav Moshe says that say Stakachav L'chumr is 50 minutes. Rav Moshe holds that an American person should not do Malach until 50 minutes after sunset, Mitzvah Shabbos. Right, Shabbos over sunset, 50 minutes. Many people wait today 60 or 72 minutes. Rav Moshe is 50 minutes. Rav Moshe says, don't be so machmir when it comes to Amiru La'akum. Amiru La'akum, you're only allowed to tell a guy do malachov 30 minutes after sunset. 30 minutes after sunset, you can l'chatchila tell a guy to do anything you want. After that, you're not allowed to. Because you have to already be chayish. After 30 minutes, it's already vaday laila. And vaday laila, then you have to follow the rules. Amira liamira, or grimiza, or pretty much that's it. Or all the different kulis of choyle, or being cold, yeah.
Would the Rambam be against Shabbos clocks?
The Rambam?
Yeah.
Zila Bey Milsa. L'chor, that's what it's based on. L'chor, that's what it's based on. Rav Moshe is famously writing that he's against all Shabbos clocks. Zila Bey Milsa. Even lights. Rav Moshe holds you're not allowed to use a clock for anything. Not Minat Torah, because Zila Bey Milsa. He says if he would go to war and tell everyone you're not allowed to use Shabbos clocks for lights, but it's too late. Doshu Beirabin. Already the whole world uses Shabbos clocks for lights, so it's not for me to come now and make a machlokis and tell everyone you're not allowed to do it. But the air conditioners, which are that way, when he issued this pesach, was a luxury. Not too many people had the luxury of having an air conditioner in their apartment at that time. And this goes back probably in the 50s. And they said, you're not allowed. You're not allowed to have an air conditioner on a clock because Zila Bey Milsa. It's a Shabbos. What?
Energy saver.
Well, they didn't exist when he wrote that. They didn't exist. The oilam today is not samech. Is not chayish to this. Going on and off, I don't know. Maybe not. Because that's, if you think about it, it's a little bit less. A clock is your doing. When you set up a clock, I am deciding before Shabbos. Not really. It's a temperature. It's a thermostat.
You're saying.
I'm not controlling the environment. It's less direct. I think we can understand an energy saver, a clock. I'm telling it should go on this time, go off that time. Every time it goes on, it goes off, and it's due to my command. I put my command in order before Shabbos. I decide before Shabbos there's going to be a desecration of Shabbos at this time and at this time and at this time. Is it mutter? Well, I'm not doing it. It's automated, so technically it's mutter. It's just a question of zeal of emels. Rav Moshe was a very holy person. He was very sensitive to this. He was bechlal. If you look at all this piskei halacha, extreme, only extreme levels, not minor levels. Only when the temperature is like it's 50 degrees, and the temperature is 68, and you would prefer it to be 69 or 70, you're such a feinschmeck. Those 2 degrees make such a big difference. That is not in the category of tzinim upachim. Tzinim upachim is significant. It's 50 degrees. It's a winter day, and the temperature, and all of a sudden the boiler went off, and we know that in 2 hours from now the temperature is going to drop down in the room here to 60 degrees. That's also very uncomfortable for many people, right? I mean, it all depends on the person. That's a different category. But a
you're
few.
Not allowed to tell a guy, you're allowed to tell a guy, but you're not allowed to set a time or the day before.
What that means is, it means you have to let the air conditioner run the entire Shabbos. Let the air conditioner run the entire Shabbos, or don't use the air conditioner at all on Shabbos. We're still discussing different situations. Halacha l'maisa, bizman hazeh, the oilam is not, ruba d'ruba, they're not chayish for this psak halacha. Ruba d'ruba, we're not so sensitive, and everyone freely uses clocks and sensors and every type of gadget for Shabbos. That's accepted. We're not machmir. When it comes to clocks for everyone is using clocks for everything today. On a clock. And Rav Moshe Tandler was the grandson of a
son-in-law.
Which there are a lot of Tandlers today. There's another issue of Avshe Milsa, which makes all the issue of Moshe is based upon Avshe Milsa. Avshe doesn't only necessarily mean noise, it means publicity. When the lights are going on, the air conditioner is going on, it becomes a public fact that Shabbos has been desecrated.
So you made him do it in the middle of the night.
Another very big heter is shoveling the snow. There is absolutely no restriction. As I'm saying, there is no restriction. The public act in front of the shul. We're more in front of the shul. Everyone is coming to shul, and there's a guy, Amir Lachim, you're telling a guy to shovel the snow in the shul on Shabbos. So there's all the policy. A Jew can do it. It's not so simple. No, it's not so simple. That's not. Where do you see that?
A lot of sources. Why not?
It'll be on your email tonight.
You're writing a letter. You're writing an English letter. The Rabbana maybe. What do you do?
I don't. There are problems. There is
shoveling
snow.
You have to shovel snow.
Yes and no. Yeah.
Rabbi, why
is
that? Used to shovel his house
on Shabbos. He used to shovel the snow. Okay, so he's saying you have.
Then you can put down salt.
Yeah, you can put down salt. That's true.
All right, we have to look into this. I don't know yet. You're going to send me a link.
Someone who died.
Yeah. Okay.
Got shovel, and someone went by, slipped, hit his head, and that's it. Yeah. Till today, we consider this guy a murderer. I mean, there are two guys like that.
On Shabbos?
You
slipped on Shabbos or during the week?
He didn't do it Shabbos, and of course, he didn't do it Sunday either. But, you know.
All right. Okay.
What about this halacha is like binyans. You can't do it because everybody knows that it's his property. What about your car, giving it to a mechanic?
L'chor, that's okay. That's a kli. That's like giving the wood. That's mutter. That's
but you know, let's say you have a vanity license plate that has your name on it.
Mashiach.
Everybody walks by and says, "Oh, that's his. You know, that's his car."
It's in the garage, right? It's not. That's really the case of giving wood to a craftsman to fashion into a kli. L'chor, a car is a kli.
Here it's identified as yours. That's the only thing.
If it's done in public, then you have a problem. If it's not in public, which I can't imagine, anytime you give a car to a mechanic, it's not in public. You never see the car again. You always wonder, will they return the car with all the same parts?
He parks
the car outside on Shabbos. In a public place, on his lot.
I usually park my car outside.
On the street, and then you would pass on the shul, everyone would know it's your car.
You deliver.
Then it would be a problem. That's what it says. It says over here that if it's in public, it's a problem. It's not. So if you have a situation where the garage of the guy, it's a very Jewish neighborhood, everyone's walking Shabbos, and the guy is taking the car out into the street, then Enochanami would have a problem. Enochanami. But if you're going into the average, you bring your car into a shop, or to a, let's say you have a leased car, okay, you're going into the dealership. So it's a massive factory inside there. You don't see the car. The car goes in, and that's it. Until they call you, and even though you have no shaykhus to the car, you're a little mom and pop shop on the street corner in front of a shul, then in a chanami you might have a problem if they see everyone. Oh, this is this one's car. Everyone knows what your car looks like. You have the fanciest car in the neighborhood, the most expensive car. Maybe in a chanami would be a problem. Anything that is bepirsum, the rule is bepirsum, is begeder zilbe milsa. That's and is lachar similar to real estate. Real estate by nature is something which is zilbe milsa. So let's go to the next halacha. Halacha, where are we up to? Let's vafilu list. We're on the bottom of page memtes. The last line, the top line, on page memtes. Page memtes, vafilu. The last line, there are only three lines on page Memtes. Let's start from the line, the bottom line. Afilu list l'satem avonim u'l'sakin karis l'tzrech binyan. Even to chisel stones and to prepare beams. L'tzrech binyan im yodua shehema shel yishol. That's the example, the car. The car is in public. V'hanochvi oiseh b'rechoyiv b'mokom paris. Mamash, your example. You see, you read it out of the page. If it's known, it's in the street. V'hanochvi oiseh b'rechoyiv b'mokom paris. Osir sheyaseh b'shabes because of zila b'milsa pirsum v'chein avoides hasadeh. It is a given. Anything that is done in real estate, you're going lachreish to plow v'liktzar to harvest chodaimer afilu im socher es ha'ini yehudi sheyaseh kolam locha be'ad skum yedua. There is kablonis. I did not pay him to do it on Shabbos. I'm not paying him by the day. I paid him for the job. The anus sechir yom is not your worker. Also because it's something which is done by Pearson. I remember Adavin Chaim Bolin many years ago when they were building the building. They were building Chaim Bolin, right? You pass on Coney Island Avenue, there's a big building over there. So in the olden days, there was a little Beis Medrash. So we were in the old Beis Medrash still. And it was Yom Kippur. Shabbos on. And they're hacking away. And I remember one of the Balabatim went out with his kittel and his talis in a rage. They obviously they made arrangements that they never worked on Shabbos. So it's not one of the workers. I don't know, I just didn't know. Yom Kippur is the middle of the week. So he went out with his, remember, he went out with his kittel and his talis and was screaming and arguing with the workers. There were these two workers that were hacking away on the construction site. And they said, "What are you doing? What are you doing? Today is Yom Kippur. You're not allowed to work on Yom Kippur." No, so they laughed. So it could happen. Okay, anything could happen. Even on Yom Kippur, things like this can happen. We are four lines from the top. The only exception when it comes to real estate, if he's a sharecropper. So he's a sharecropper, everyone knows. Everyone knows that there's a partnership in this piece of land. Part of the land belongs to a Jew, part belongs to the guy. So when the guy is working the field, he's doing it for his own benefit. So in the other words, you have a building, right? You have many very common, these buildings in Manhattan, they put up buildings. So who owns the building? There are partners. You have a group of people who are partners in constructing a skyscraper or some type of building, and they're working on Shabbos. Even though your name, people know that you're, but since there are other people who are partners in this project, then there is not, then it's mutter. They had Reichman was nifted not that long ago. They wrote him up, and one of the big things that about him, he never let them do any malach on Shabbos. They built, what did they build? Across from World Trade Center, they built that, the
financial
center. It was all his, and they write in the articles that when he went to contract to build, the agreement was they're not going to do any malach, not going to work on Shabbos. And like they said, what? We're not going to work on Shabbos? Impossible. they told him it's impossible. The nature of the business. It's no, we're not going to sign until we agree on this. And I'm sure he had a million heterim. You can find a million heterim, all different ways to work it out. You could have a schirus, and you can get it. He said no, I don't want. And at the end they agreed, and they said that the buildings that he put up went up in record speed. And tremendous hatzlacha, and the article writes that in 9/11, almost everything that he put up, almost everything wasn't touched. L'malam derech hateva, and then it's right across the street. I mean, we're talking over here. Yes. You know, Dalet Amos. You go on the West Side Highway, right? On one side is the World Trade Center. The other side is all his stuff. How could it be even blocks away on the other side? Debris fell down. Whatever it was, okay, there's obviously something to it. B&H. Ever listen to that? We would say yes. The B&H, they're closed on Shabbos. There's no requirement for them to close on Shabbos and to shut down their website on Shabbos. It's something that's very noble. I don't think I could be on a b'nisayon like this. I mean, I over the years I've worked with people on different websites, and you know, a lot of business comes in on Shabbos.
Such a thing is called pinkel and a shovel.
Yeah.
In other words, even though he has pinkel, it's just the idea, the feeling that
it's an amazing thing. If you've been there and you've had that b'nisayon, I've had that b'nisayon on a teeny little scale compared to what these people have. And I can tell you, I can't be able to be such an assign. If it's mutter, it's mutter. And this is your parnasa. So to be Omen and to do something so noble, Zil Bei Mils, to make a statement, Kedusha Shabbos, not Mizalf on Shabbos, when you have in front of you 10 heterim, it's something that you have to stand back and give credit.
Somebody who spoke to Rav Moshe on the Eruv.
Yeah.
And he basically, I mean, things change over the time, but at the time he said to him, there are plenty of heterim, but it takes away from Shabbos.
Yeah. Rav Moshe was very well known. Rav Moshe, when he came to America, they write about this. If you look at this Piskei Halacha, Rav Moshe is from the biggest matirim, across the board. He found the heter for everything. But when it came to Shabbos, Hilcha Shabbos, he's from the biggest machmirim. And people write, they explain, when he came to America, what bothered him the most was the zilzul in Shabbos. He came to America, the early years, there was open chil Shabbos, and it disturbed him to no end, and that influenced his thinking in not looking for heterin. And that is across the board with the clocks and the air conditioners and even the lights and the Erev issues. He went to the extreme with Dafka not to look for Heterim because he felt that Kedusha Shabbos is what will keep Klal Yisrael strong throughout all the generations. Okay, let's try to finish this up over here. So even anything that is done in public, period. If he takes a portion of the tool, then it's mut. That's the way it is. Sharecropping. Anyone that works on a field, they also get a portion. They're working for themselves, since they themselves will enjoy the benefit of the field. So it's considered they're working for themselves. So it's permitted. He does. The owner also receives a share, but you can't work for yourself without working for the owner. So, but we don't attribute the guy's labor to the Jew. The guy is working primarily for himself because he's going to receive benefit from the field. Even though, as a byproduct, the Jew will also derive benefit. I didn't tell him. We have all the conditions. I didn't tell him to do it on Shabbos. I never instructed him to do it on Shabbos. I'm not paying him for doing it on Shabbos. He's doing it at his own leisure. And the only real issue in this situation is Zila Bei Mils. It's a disgrace. It's a disgrace that my property is being, Mloch is being done on something which is known to be my property. Here there is no Zila Bei Milsa. Because every single person that sees the non-Jew work on Shabbos says it's not the Jew's property, the guy's property. The guy, because the guy is getting his own benefit. We mentioned this before. He does not live in Tachat Chom. Shabbos Mutter. It's Menu Mutter.
If you go, if Flatbush, you're going to have a guy build a house?
We discussed that. No, you can't build a house in Flatbush, because everyone knows. Everyone knows, as we discussed in the country, everyone in Flatbush, if you live in a house and you have to move out of the house for a couple of weeks because they're doing construction, you're not allowed to let a non-Jew do construction, even if I'm only quietly in the house. There's no such thing. What? A shul? Of course not. Why a shul? Why a shul different? Adrabah, a shul is the greatest zilzul of Beis HaKnesses. And even if the guy tells you, I'm going to do it, oh, I'm only going to work inside, no one's going to even know I'm down there, I'll park the van around the corner. We all know, you hear...
They were fixing up Lubavitch.
Yeah.
And they were working really up the... It was there of Rosh Hashanah.
To the last minute.
And the Rebbe said, I'm coming down. If I see any workers there, I'm going out and I'll go to a different shul.
Wow.
I remember they hadn't finished the wall. The wall from
there. The king's
way there.
They walked out.
Yeah.
I'm my block. Someone's doing construction. So the whole day, all you hear the whole day is the noise. So, yeah, and even though the trucks are not parked on the block, it's parked somewhere else, you hear the noise. Zila Bay Milsa. Everyone knows who owns this house. Everyone knows this is a person's house is under construction. But if you're in the country, someone has a bungalow in the country in some remote, some close private quarters, and no one really knows what's going on over there. So he's saying, oh yeah, that's smooth. In that situation, I've heard stories where people do construction in their summer home or some bungalow where the rabbanim have given them a heter to let the guy do malach whenever they want. You contract with them, even though you know they're going to do malach on Shabbos, as long as it's not a requirement, and you tell them that they don't have to do malach on Shabbos, you prefer them not to do malach on Shabbos, and they choose to do their own liking, since no one is there on site at that point in time, then it takes away the zil be milsa, and it's mutter. And that's exactly what it says over here. Who mak mak shin shol shol darsham mesachot chum menu mutter. Gam b'schirus b'skum yedua. Even the schirus for a set amount of money. Lovach lo yehei any Yehudi schiryam, as long as he's not paying him for the day. Vav imbona any Yehudi shol bayis b'shabes b'iser. This is brought down in Shulchan Aruch. Simalach. Let's say you build a house in Flatbush. Everyone knows that Reuven ben Shimon bought this lot. And the house is built on Shabbos, violating all the rules of Shabbos, all the halachas. So the halach is nachon lahachmir shelo yikonespo. The house, you should not go into the house. The house was built, the iser, you should not derive benefit from the iser. Fast and halach. Like I told you with the mezuzah, the rabbi said, we asked the child, the mezuzah, we know for a fact, we purchased Jerusalem stone, and it was delivered to a specialist who would cut the stone and chisel out an inside and drill holes on the top of the nails that were custom made, and we know for a fact it was done on Shabbos. He admitted he did it on Shabbos. It was mutter, but Zila Bay Milsa, you're going to put this up on your home as Shmira, and you're going to kiss it, and it was done by a Jew, it's Mechal Shabbos, it's mutter. But if you want to be machmir, tovah lov bracha. You get that flavor here where the halach was actually, the proof is that when the halach was actually done on Shabbos, you're not allowed the halacha. It's nochon. It's proper not to enter the home on Shabbos. Halacha zayin. Nishi yesh lo sodar echai. Now you can talk about avsha milsa, a field or a mill. You have a facility, you have a factory. When it comes to a rechayim or field, you're allowed to rent it. Because we hold schirus, he has rented, he now becomes in halacha the new owner. It's not considered to be your property. Since he has rented this facility, it's considered to be under his jurisdiction, and we don't attribute any malach that's done. Avol merchatz also lahaskir lo. A merchatz is different. When we're going to do the shemitz halacha, we'll describe in more detail the differences between these examples. We'll just get the gist of what's going on over here. V'ma merchatz eina shel yishol ela b'schivus. But let's say the merchatz does not belong to a Jew ela b'schivus. Eina shel yishol b'schivus. Another main Yehudi. You know, you're subletting. I myself don't own this bathhouse. I have only leased the bathhouse. And now I'm going to sublet it to another, to a guy. Then, in this situation, if people don't know, you can hide the fact that you are gaining profit from this bathhouse. There's room to be makel ech yinhoig bo. V'chol mi shehu machzik neches. Now the person who is a tax collector. Okay, machzik neches. Know what that word means?
Customs.
If you collect taxes on Shabbos and people, you have people working for you, you have a toll booth, right? You purchased the Holland Tunnel, right? Isn't that what they're trying to do now? The cities are trying to sell highways, and they're trying to say, you just pay us a certain amount of money a year, and the tolls are up to you. This is a big thing to privatize all over the country. Read in the news, go online, check it out, all over the country. A lot of cities are finding that it's much better for everyone if they privatize the roads. The roads will be better maintained, all the potholes will be filled a lot faster, and the city will get a fixed amount of income for leasing or selling the bridges, tunnels, and roads, and let the people who purchase, the companies who purchase, let them charge whatever they want. They'll have an incentive. They're not going to charge too much because no one's going to go over the bridge. They'll go over another bridge. So they'll figure out, and that'll be a monopoly. But let's see, have a situation so we can trust all of these companies to figure out their own system, and it's been proven that private enterprise is always much more efficient than government-run programs. Michal is not here now, so he can't back me up on all this. So it can be no gelach lemaisa, because when this happens, and it's happening all over the country, just check it out online, it's happening all over the country, it's inevitable that you're going to have big Jewish names. Serious business. You're going to have big Jewish names. This halacha is going to become extremely relevant very soon. Are going to buy bridges. They're going to buy... What? Do you sell to me? No. I can't pay more than $4.99. They can do that also. The MTA wants to put on tolls on all the bridges also. That's another thing. But what's going to happen? It's inevitable. Jews are going to buy roads. They're going to buy bridges and tunnels. And they're going to be collecting taxes. They're going to be collecting tolls on Shabbos. So how do you deal with this situation?
You sell it over Shabbos.
So you want to make a shutz with another good. So this is where all of it is rooted. Okay, he's quoting over here sources. This is in Simin Reish Mem Gimel Hilcha Shabbos. When it comes to Kuchadoyme, Tzarech La'aso Shelas Chacham Eich Yinoig Bohem. How do you deal with a situation of a Jewish owned business where you collect tolls from people? Halacha Ches. The days shall you be listening to Halacha. Let's finish. Eretz Yisrael. Okay, you know the Olam Halachos. No, we'll stop over here. There are too many more halachas to finish today. We'll stop here.